At this point, can you hear me? Ah, yes, that's better. Yeah. At this point, I should shout out, can you hear me at the back? Because I tend to sit at the back and I tend to nod off. And so,
ask it again.
Oh, there you go. That should be a bit louder now.
All right. Okay, so that should cause the central heating to fall off the wall. Oh, air conditioning, I should say. Look, this is a series about when God spoke, and when Tom asked me to talk about it, my first reaction was, oh dear. Sandy told me, I said to her, Tom had persuaded me to speak, and she said, well, look, speak for absolutely no more than 20 minutes. So, what was I going to do for the other 19? That was the challenge. My first thought was, God doesn't speak to me very much. My second thought was, he probably speaks to me, but I don't listen to him carefully enough, or possibly even at all. Now, I must confess, I have a bit of a track record in this area, over-listening to people, as Sandy will testify. I pray, and I can see my prayers are answered, but not always in the way I expect or hope. Does that happen to anybody else? Mm-hmm. He speaks to me to guide my actions and how I should behave. He also speaks to guide my decisions. But I don't always understand his guidance. I don't always act upon it. So I want to speak about two occasions in my life when God has spoken directly to me, and eventually I did act upon it. It was not through a heavenly fanfare, a divine revelation. It was not through scripture popping into my head. It was through circumstances. Again, I don't know if any of you can yourselves relate to that. The first area I want to talk about is becoming a Christian. As a child, I was sent to church with my brother. My father, we lived in Portsmouth, my father was in the Royal Navy, it was just after the Second World War, and he, at that time, if you were in the Navy and serving on ships, you went away for 2 years, there was no messing about. I had an older brother, and I guess my mum, as a sort of single parent family, found us a bit of a handful. And so sending us to church on a Sunday was a way of getting a little bit of relief. My parents didn't go to church, they thought it was there to send the children to. And by the age of 12, I drifted away. And I stayed drifted. I went to university in the mid-60s, I studied physics, I then went on to do another degree in computer science. I trained as a scientist and ended up working in a computer centre. There was no room for God in any of that. He was completely out of my life. But if we motor on a few years then, to the end of the 70s, I'd married a Christian, Sandy, and we had two very young sons, both under school age. I was still a non-believer, and I didn't realise at the time the implications of a non-believer marrying a committed Christian. In about 1981, Sandy joined Hedge End Community Church. The church used to meet in the village hall, and the village hall was about 3 or 4 minutes walk away from where we lived. That's why these surroundings are so familiar to me. And the church had an induction program for new members. It was called Firm Foundations. Because we were in the middle of the village, they met at our house on a Sunday evening for about 6 or 8 weeks, something like that. While they were meeting, I would ostentatiously go upstairs and not want to be part of it. But through that time, God brought me alongside people like us, who tried to practice their beliefs day by day. Now, Sandy and I have had 40 years together, but we've had our challenges in that time. And when at the time I'm talking about, when I was still not a Christian and Sandy had joined the community church, she was experiencing some health problems, especially asthma, which she still gets now. And I found myself in a situation where I had a wife who was unable even to walk up and down stairs. I had 2 young children under school age to look after, and a full-time and demanding job. I tried to get back from work every lunchtime. I could put the boys into play school during the day, but lunchtime I couldn't, so I had to get back. And one day, I found a strange woman in the house. Well, she wasn't strange, stranger to me. I mean, she was perfectly normal. A stranger in the house, vacuuming the stairs. You know, who are you? And it turned out that she was a member of the church who'd heard about the situation and came to help us as a family. After that, the church came along to help us as a family. And we were provided with lots of hot meals. Not lasagna, but lots of shepherd's pie, something to remember. And casseroles. And offers of help to look after the children. And although I still hadn't made any commitment, God spoke to me very loudly through that. Now at the same time, on the work side of my life, I was, among other things, running a project to develop some software for a new range of computers. And I had a chap doing the programming work called Ralph Elliott, not that mean anything to you at all, I'm sure. And at lunch one day, we used to go on occasion and have lunch together, he told me quite out of the blue that he had become a Christian. Now that was a bit of a shock, because Ralph was one of the most unchristian-like people I knew. But he had been reading a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And he said that really affected him and made his change his whole viewpoint. Well, at that point, God had given me another prod. So, just out of sheer curiosity, I decided to read the book myself. That was either a really good thing or a really bad thing, I don't know. But I understood then that the barriers that I'd built around myself to protect me from this strange Christian outlook on life, all those barriers began to crumble away. It is a very, very good book if you want an intellectual exposition of faith and belief. It is extremely good. And through those two experiences, I believe I acquired the head knowledge of a Christian. Now, a new family joins Hedge End Community Church. Mervyn Suffield was a GP. He had a young family. He moved to the area to set up a practice. There was one GP practice already in the village, but the village had grown enormously, and a second one was needed. And he was running the practice from his home until he could get a proper surgery built. And one weekend, I volunteered to help him lay the hard standing for cars in the front of his garden. And we talked about God and belief. And through Mervyn, God said to me, look, I've laid it all out for you. You have all the knowledge you desired. What is your problem? And I knew then I had no problem. To quote from the first chorus we sang today, the kingdom seed awoke in me. I was a hearer of the word, as Tim was saying earlier on, but not a doer. But that started me on my Christian journey, and that house on the corner of Upper St. Helens Road in Hedgenders have a lot to answer for, I can tell you. And the journey I'm on was once described by a good friend of ours, a Salvation Officer Army at the time in Hedgend called Brian Rice. And he told me that you are on one of the shortest and longest journeys you will ever undertake. The shortest part of the journey is the physical distance, 18 inches. The longest part is the whole of the rest of my life, because it means I have to turn my whole world upside down, and in common with many other Christians, that probably will take the rest of your life to complete. The journey is from here to here. I'm sorry, but it does get me at times. Until I learn to lead with my heart, and not just my head, the journey won't be complete. We can acknowledge the possibility of God's being, but can we fully embrace it, all it entails, and can we make it the core of our lives? So that was the way I came to Christ, the first part of it. Well, we can certainly at least 20 years. And I'd taken retirement, early retirement in 2003, after Joe and Mike and Sandy had finished their university courses. Sandy and I agreed that at that time we would look for a complete change of life, and we looked for a rural business. And we spent a year, 18 months, going all over the place trying to find a sort of business that we could run. And eventually we looked and found a business in North Somerset, that was the one we decided we wanted to go for. Well, we were moving along when I think God said very clearly, this is not what I have for you. You know what problems of buying and selling property are like, and when you have a business and it's a rural post office, I don't know if any of you have ever tried to buy post office, but the post office at the time don't make it very easy for you. It can be quite a complicated business. And that had stalled. We were having problems finding a buyer for our own house, and we had this complicated business to go to, and then I suffered a heart attack. Sandy had to carry the burden of coping with me in hospital, and her trying to keep all this business progressing. So we decided to postpone the move for a while. And quite honestly, it was only really something as dramatic as that that would have stopped us from moving. And it was a big blow at the time, though with hindsight, there have been some really beneficial side effects. So we spent the next 10 years as carers for my father, who was becoming increasingly frail, and we didn't consider moving again until he died in 2013. He was 97, he'd had his life, and you know, he was happy to be released, but that was 10 years on. And we decided to move to the West Midlands, and that was based on geography. At the time, and sort of still is, I have one son who lives in Liverpool, with his family. We have another son who at the time was living in southeast London, in Eltham, with his family. And we had Sandy's mum living in South Devon. So where do we go? Well, we decided we want to be equally distant from all three. either as close to all three as possible or as far away from all three as possible. You take your choice. We prayed about it, but we didn't really get any, I don't think we felt any specific direction. The West Midlands was an interesting place, and we looked around, and I think we rapidly ruled out Birmingham as a home, because Sandy's a country girl, and she wanted something of the country. But we had lots of comments from our friends at the time saying, "No, don't move. We need you here." And quite honestly, things were in the balance. The fire we had for our house had dropped out, and we didn't really know what to do. Our son Joseph had a student friend whose family lived in Malvern at Barnard's Green, and Joe had visited him a few times and told us of a pub they used to go to called the Chase Inn. Notice it's a pub, not a church. We started to look in that area in Malvern and Ledbury, and some close friends of ours in Botley village where we lived had an apple farm, and they spoke quite warmly about Ledbury because they'd been here because of the apples and the cider, and Stephen was very much into making cider, so he could drink most of it, I think, but anyway, he was very into cider. And so we visited the area and found a property in Colwall. We liked the area, we put in an offer, and the offer was accepted within half an hour. When we got back to Botley, we were told by the estate agent we had another buyer for the house, and things seemed to be starting to move slowly. Well, we approached a local building firm, White's, who had an office in Botley. And when we were talking to the lady in the office there, she got extremely excited. Because her grandfather, I don't think he's alive now, but he certainly lived in Colwall. She'd been here a number of times to stay with him. She told us about Aunt Alice, the clock, which she knew. And her sister was being married in St James's Church in December that year, which was 2014, and the reception was going to be in the Park Hotel. We just couldn't believe it. But we should, all the places in the world, we should go into that office and find that person with that sort of connection in the place that we were thinking of moving to. And the very next Sunday, we discovered that our choir master in the church, we had quite a large church choir there, David Burgess, knew the village well because he'd stayed here while attending the Three Choirs Festival, which he did regularly. And one of our house group members, Cat Tribble, had also been in the Park Hotel for training courses, so it almost seemed like home from home. This was really heady stuff, and we felt God saying, "You're not cutting your ties, you're extending them." Okay? And we felt very optimistic about it. Well, we've been here coming up for 4 years. And since that time, Sandy's had almost 2 years of ill health. I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. She's been in Worcester Hospital with suspected pneumonia. She's had surgery on both her knees, one of them being a full knee replacement. She's had a plethora of post-operative complications. And just over 18 months ago, I was persuaded to take on the job of church treasurer. And not to put too fine a point on it, I'm not trying to get at anybody being critical at all, but I think it's been one of the most demanding and stressful times I've ever had. And I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. Because I've not been in control of events have been in control of me. So to this extent, we really are at the moment feeling, is this really why God smoothed our path? I don't know. But sometimes, you know, I think that God is shouting at me, and I have my fingers in my ears, and I'm singing loudly, or just saying, "Sorry, can't hear you." We ask God for help. We ask him to speak to us. But is the help he offers the help we think we want? With the difficult times we have had over the past 2 to 3 years, we have to be honest with ourselves, Sandy and I, and say, have we given him the time and space for him to speak to us? And I feel the answer for me is a resounding no, much as it pains me to say. And so I'd just like to say to you that we, each one of us here, will continue that long journey to heart knowledge. But if we want to hear him, we must make space to invite him into our lives. A point that John was making last week. Holman Hunt's picture of the light of the world. The door is closed, but there's no handle on the outside. We have to open. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Where are you with your long journey? Are you putting the time aside to listen to Christ, to listen to the Lord, and get him to help you along that road? I hope I haven't taken much more than 20 minutes. Can we just pray together? Lord, help us on our journey from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Help us to listen to you by making space in our lives exclusively for you. Lord, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire of our day-to-day life with your still, small voice of calm. Amen.
Thanks, Andy.